across this place, would you just strive to give him all of your praise? Would we just spend a moment right here and pour out whatever we can? Lord, we know it's 9:20 in the morning, but you are worthy of all of my praise right now this morning. You're worthy of all my praise tomorrow morning. You're worthy of all my praise every morning. So I give you all. Without a doubt, Jesus Christ is worthy of all of our praise. Truth be told, he's worthy of more than we could give. But we're going to try anyway to give praise to a worthy God and a holy God. Can we do that once again? Again, just from a place of sincerity this morning. Would you lift your hands and voices and we worship this wonderful God and we praise that name of Jesus that we just sang about, that name that every nation, every tongue will proclaim and confess. We thank you, Jesus, and praise you this morning. Jesus' name. What's remarkable is that as we give him our all, he turns it around and gives us his all, pours himself into a service like this and into the lives represented. That's why we're feeling what we're feeling. I feel the glory and the holy presence of God here. What an overwhelming and a wonderful feeling. And more than a feeling, but it's the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I acknowledge him today and thank him for his presence. Along with him, so thankful for any guests that have joined us today at Apostolic Pentecostal Church, both in the building and watching via live stream. Thank you so much. We are truly, we say this, but it's very true. We are so privileged. Any guest, any person decides to come and visit with us, and we want to connect with you and get to know you a little more and hopefully invite you to be a part of this church family. We're going to continue to worship the Lord together and acknowledge him by turning to his word this morning. I invite you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 13 and verse 21. This is the account when the Israelites were first entering the wilderness by way of the Red Sea, and the surrounding verses tell us the Egyptians chasing closely behind them. Verse 21 tells us that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. If you skip a couple dozen chapters, you come to Exodus in chapter 40 and verse 38. It says of that same cloud and pillar of fire, "For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." You take that in a literal sense, it would mean that throughout their entire stint and their extended stay in the wilderness, they were never lost. They were never without God's leadership. They were never without his direction. Instead, whether through a literal pillar of fire or a cloud or even just the sound of his voice, throughout the entirety of their wilderness experience, they were always led by a God who knew the plans that he had for them. Plans that were good and plans that involved a future and a hope. And that same God speaks in the New Testament from John chapter 10 and verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Today I want to circle back to a direction our pastor preached near the beginning of our collective wilderness experience this April. His title was, "We Will Know the Way to Go." And he encouraged us to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost in and through the wilderness that is 2020. My direction is the same today, but I want to preach to you from this title instead, "Follow Jesus." We're going to follow him. I need you to pray with me this morning. God's going to help us, not because I'm up here, because of His grace and mercy and His presence. It's here. Would you pray over the next remaining few minutes of this service? Lord, we love You. We acknowledge You today. We're thankful for Your presence, Lord, as prepare the way for Your Word. And now we're asking that You would help us today to do as this title instructs us to do, to follow You no matter what. We're asking for Your strength and Your covering and Your clarity to be in this room today, Lord. I pray You'd anoint our ears and our hearts to receive Your Word, God, Your Word of truth and Your eternal Word. It's going to help us today. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's a simple title and sentiment. It does not have the typical wordplay or alliteration that I usually like to employ, but it is the perfect representation of what I'm attempting to do today myself, as well as what I'm encouraging this church family to do in this season and in this hour. Simply put, we are going to follow Jesus. It is simple. It is straightforward. And I believe it's also eternal, and it's absolutely critical. It could very well determine our destinies and our ultimate spiritual destinations. It has the potential to either deliver us or to derail us on our way to our shared promised land. It has daily implications on our livelihood and our spiritual and emotional well-beings. And I thank God that it is still a sound direction and a consistent call to a people who have been strategically placed in and on a journey together. And even if that is a wilderness journey, that call and that direction remain the same. In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of uncharted territory, even in the midst of insecurity, we are going to follow Jesus as He leads us to an expected end and to an anticipated promise. We're going to pursue the presence and the glory of God that we feel in this place today, even if that's the only direction we have to go on in such a time as this. We, the church, and the people of God, we are going to follow Jesus. No matter where He leads us, and no matter what the journey may entail, we're going to follow Jesus today. Would you help me by saying that to someone around you? Look at someone and just tell them, give them an imperative or command. Follow Jesus. You think about it. This was about the only direction the Israelites had to go on themselves as they entered into their shared journey and shared wilderness experience. It was either follow God in the form of a pillar and a cloud, or get lost trying to go their own way. For the planners and the strategizers in the group, all the control freaks throughout Israel, this would have been a nightmare for them. There was no way to think 10 steps ahead or to plan the fastest route for what could have been a million plus people, not including livestock and belongings. All they knew at the time was we're headed to a place called Canaan, into the promised land, a place none of them had ever been before. As Pastor preached, it was a journey in a way none of them had ever traveled before in their lifetimes, just like 2020 is for each one of us today. And all they had to go on was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Exodus 40 says, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they didn't journey until that day when it was taken up. For them, this was a daily process. It was a daily decision. They had to wake up each day and decide whether they were going to follow God through the wilderness or stay put where they were. In the face of their prolonged journey, the Israelites had to make the determination every day whether they were going to follow the God who had delivered them from Egypt and from their oppression in the first place. Every opportunity they could, they had to watch for that cloud and that pillar of fire to start to move forward. Every morning, they had to look to the glory and to the presence of God that dwelt among them and receive whatever direction He had for them that day. And when He moved, they had to move. And when He stayed put, they had to stay with Him and trust that He knew the way and He knew the direction and He knew the plans, like I said, that He had for them, and that those plans were good and those plans did involve a future and a hope. They had to make a daily decision to follow Jesus no matter the direction He led them in their journey. It has not changed. Even in 2020, it is still a daily decision. It's a routine call, an act of obedience every day, that if He calls me to move today, I'm going to follow Him. If He tells me to stay where I am, I'm staying with Him. If He doesn't move at all, I'm not going ahead without Him. And if He starts to move, I'm not staying here, absent of Him and His presence in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of my journey. I will make the determination every day that I'm going to follow Jesus. Even on days I don't feel like moving, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. I'm going to follow the God who's gotten me this far in the first place. Even on the days I don't feel like staying put, and I don't feel like waiting on the Lord, I'm going to trust the God who called me to follow Him, and the God who knows the way that I take, even the way through the wilderness. When faced with the choice to follow or the choice to wander in my own direction, I am going to follow Jesus. Even if that's all I got to go on, while I journey through the wilderness of my life, I'm going to continue to trust and to follow Jesus, knowing exactly what He promised in both the Old and the New Testament. If He repeats something, it's probably significant that He would never leave us or forsake us. And He'll be with us always, even to the end of the age, that the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Exodus 13, 22 says, He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 40 and verse 38 says, For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Even after they rebelled against Him in Numbers chapter 14 and didn't go into Canaan, Deuteronomy 2 tells us the Lord still instructed Moses where to go, and He spoke to him through His own voice and told him where to go and where to stay. Even after they rebelled, whether the pillar of fire and the cloud remained or not, they were never absent of His direction. They were never devoid of His voice. They were never left without His presence. They were never left without His guidance. They were never abandoned in their wilderness. This morning, I know you and I can hardly relate to following a pillar of cloud or fire every day. Although I did think in 2020 that probably wouldn't even make the headlines. Man follows pillar of fire every night. Who cares? We don't know what that feels like. But I'm thankful that whether we've got a pillar, a cloud, a pillar of fire or not, we've always had His voice. Always. Our text, John chapter 10, reads, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one shall be able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Several weeks ago, we were here at the church in the office area. Mila was following me around. She does that from time to time. Other times she just makes her own way and I got to follow her. She thought I had gone out into the vestibule. We were in the office. She thought I'd gone out there. So she started to run that way. Along the way she got spooked by something or someone. She couldn't find me and she started to cry. It was more than likely a combination of it being her bedtime as well as some fear about losing track of her dad. She thought she was falling. But I knew exactly where she was. I knew exactly where she was. I may not be our Heavenly Father, but I try not to lose track of my children, child. I knew where she was. Even if she couldn't find me, I knew where that little girl was, and I noticed her distress. And when I did, I called out Mila. And there were others talking in the vestibule. It can be loud out there. There were others trying to get her attention. She wouldn't look, but she knew that voice. Where's my dad? And immediately found me and came running to dad. Now, I know it's understandable that you can lose track of God in a wilderness time and wonder where He is in moments and times of panic and times of trouble. But we also have to understand He has never lost track of us in the middle of our wilderness. And if you've lost Him today, or you lost His trail, and you can't seem to find your way back to His presence and back to His glory, just know He knows where you are this morning. And I believe that that Heavenly Father and that Shepherd's calling out for you. Even if you can't see the physical representation of His closeness, or you can't feel the weight of His glory at times, you are never outside the reach of His voice or even the reach of His arms of grace. Whether it's a wilderness or a valley of the shadow of death or every last thing in between, He is still with you. The rod and the staff of the Shepherd will comfort you. And if all you know to do is listen for His voice, or pick up this Bible and let Him talk to you, or turn on a sermon on YouTube or Facebook, you're going to hear the voice of the Shepherd, and you're going to know where He is, and you're going to follow Him again. And the rest of the passage says, He will give you eternal life, and you'll never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch you out of His hand. Nothing's going to detach you from Him. Nothing's going to separate you from Him. Nothing will be able to seize you from the hands of Jesus and from the love and the care of the Shepherd. Not even a wilderness like 2020 can pry you away from His hands and from His grasp. Especially not when you consider He's the one that leads His people into the wilderness in the first place. You heard me right. You see, the Israelites, just like you and me, were led there in the first place. They didn't stumble haphazardly across the Red Sea. They didn't randomly pick their route and decide to traverse a waterway with a million plus people in tow. Instead, they were commissioned and summoned in that direction with the understanding that it would eventually lead them to a promised land. They were led into what seemed to be a wasteland by a God who does not miss a beat, and by a God who does not waste an opportunity to grow us and to strengthen us. Someone hear me. God is not lost in the middle of a wilderness. And that means you and I are not lost in the middle of a wilderness. And while He may be the God of the promised land, He's the God of heaven, we cannot forget He's also the God of every land, including a wilderness land. He's the one who led them there in the first place. And according to Deuteronomy 8 and 16, He's the one who fed them in the wilderness with manna, which their fathers did not know, that He would humble them and He could test them to do them good in the end. Their wilderness was not a waste of time. It was not a failed experience. It was not a lapse in God's omniscient judgment. Their wilderness was meant for their good. Their wilderness was meant to take them somewhere they could never get on their own. Their wilderness was designed to bring them into a promise and into a kingdom established by God Himself. Their wilderness, just like yours and mine, was never meant to derail them or to destroy them. Test them. Oh yeah. Grow them undoubtedly. Destroy them absolutely not. So can I tell someone today, your 2020 wilderness is not a wasted year, and it's not a wasted if all you learned was how to follow Jesus. This is not a wasted wilderness. If all you learned was how to get up and listen for His voice, and where are you at today, God? Where are you leading me? If all you learned was how to pray, this is not a wasted wilderness for you. But instead, it could be that God has led you here on purpose, just like He did those Israelites, in order to develop us, in order to test us for our good and for our growth. Maybe, just maybe, all things do work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Maybe God has a plan for our wilderness, just like He did for the very one the Israelites traversed, not once, but at least twice, in a span of over 40 years' time. You see, He didn't just lead them to the edge of the promised land and leave them there. Instead, after their rebellion in Numbers 14, He led them back into the wilderness. Seemingly, He led them in the opposite direction of their promise and their hope. After their rebellion, all they had to show for their wilderness trip was a cluster of giant grapes and a short glimpse at the land that they were supposed to be occupying. And now for the next 40 years, they'd be compelled to continue to traverse the wilderness in the opposite direction of their promise, knowing it was the direction God was calling them to go. Herein lies our dilemma today. Because it's one thing to follow God when the path to our promises and our promised land seems clear. It's another thing entirely to follow Jesus when He leads us in what appears to be the opposite direction of our promise and our expected hope. Follow Jesus. But what about when he leads me back into a wilderness and back into pain and back into suffering and even more? So follow the shepherd. But what about when the good shepherd leads me into the valley of the shadow of death? Follow him into the promised land. But what about when the promised land seems to be in the rearview mirror and it should be right in front of us? You promised me my unsaved loved ones, God, but they seem to be going in the opposite direction. I was promised healing, but my sickness is getting worse. Am I still going to follow you? I thought I had the provision that you promised in hand, but now I've lost more than I've ever gained. You promised me rest in 2020, but I seem to have the opposite, and the path to the promised land looks less and less sure. My promise is back that way, God. Why are we going this way? My promise is at hand. Why are we going in the wrong direction? I can almost see it ahead of me, but now you're telling me I got to go back into the wilderness. All the while, the shepherd's calling for us to trust him. And I've got to decide if I trust him enough to follow him back into pain and back into the heartache of the wilderness, or if my trust was only sufficient enough to endure the trip while the promise was clear and evident. When my promise is in jeopardy, what do I do then? This seems to epitomize a year like 2020. It appears to be nothing but a wilderness and a wasteland and no end and no promise inside. And if we're not careful, we'll try to preempt God's promise like the Israelites did. And in turn, we try to forego the entire process of the wilderness in which God wants to grow us and God wants to mature us. We try to skirt the wilderness at the earliest opportunity when God's called us to trust him and to follow him even through the pain and even through the pandemic and even through isolation and the gauntlet that is 2020. Rather than shortcut the process, we're called to follow Jesus, and we're called to follow him no matter what. This is our calling and also our predicament. It's real for many. 2017, 2018, we walked through a wilderness. It was one I knew specifically the Lord had called us to endure and to go through. Seemed like one thing after the next. You all know the feeling. One thing after the next. Pain just so happened to be our weekly, sometimes daily medicine. Came to a head on a Tuesday morning in September. I could take you to spot. I had a candid conversation with God. I tried to jump out of the wilderness and finally get some rest and reprieve in the promised land. I asked the Lord a candid question like some of you asked him yourselves. I said, Lord, are we done with this yet? Can we finally get out of this wilderness? Can I get a little bit of rest? How many times we asked him that this year? All I got back was a no and a nudge to follow him back into pain, back into a wilderness. 2 days later, I got that call. Someone we loved, cherished dearly, stage 4 cancer. Back into the wilderness we go. Today I'm preaching a difficult message to a faithful people who have found themselves in a problematic wilderness scenario in daily lifestyle, and knowing full well the feeling of walking in what is apparently the opposite direction of your promise, you'd think that I would have second guesses concerning what I'm about to say to you yet again this morning. But even still, I can stand here today with a wilderness in my wake and the full assurance of both the Word of God and the Holy Ghost who's in this room. And I can tell someone facing yet another wilderness and yet another setback and more pain to endure that despite it all, the best advice and the best admonishment I could give you in light of the wilderness is still this: follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Keep following Jesus. Follow him no matter what. You see, I learned something in that wilderness and others just like it. Wildernesses that may not even compare to some that have been endured throughout this room this morning, but ones that taught me a valuable lesson still. That lesson is simply this, that I have to, if I'm going to walk through the worst of trials and storms, I would rather be in the wilderness with Jesus than in the promised land without him. I'd rather be in the storm with Jesus in the boat than on the shore in the calm without him. I'd rather be in a pandemic of 2020 with the healer and the deliverer and the shepherd close at hand than be in the clear without his voice and without his direction and without his presence. And I know talk is cheaper than action, but I hope my life exemplifies that I am going to follow Jesus and I'm going to follow him anywhere. I'm going to follow him no matter what. I will follow him to the promised land and I'll follow him to the wilderness. I'll follow him into prosperity and I'll follow him into distress. I'll follow him when it's inconvenient, when it's uncomfortable, when it's uncharted, when it's uncertain, when it's unprecedented. I will follow him even to the detriment of my convenience and my comfortability, even into the fray, to the pain, to the heartache, into the wilderness. I will follow Jesus. I'm going to follow the one who said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. I'm going to follow the God who declared, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. I'm going to pursue the one who promised that in him I'm going to have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because the one you're following has overcome the world. I'm going to abide with the God who has told the Israelites himself in Deuteronomy 29. I've led you 40 years, he said, in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out. Your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You haven't eaten bread. You haven't drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. I'm going to follow the same God who kept the sandals of the Israelites intact for 40 years plus, who provided food for them every day, who brought them water from a rock and quail from a seaward wind, and who eventually delivered everything he promised he would deliver and more. I'm going to follow Jesus. A God who keeps his promises even when it looks like we're going in the very opposite direction, and a God who sustains us until said promises are fulfilled. If you notice, I've been very careful to use words today like seemingly and apparently with regards to our promises and God leading us in a different direction, because he always keeps his promises. Even when he leads us back into the wilderness, promised land is still coming. Which is why I don't believe it's an accident or coincidence that we've heard so many reminders about our promised land, about heaven recently. Thank you, Brother Spall, for reminding us to remember heaven. Not even 2020 can rob us of that hope and that promise. That's our ultimate destination, along with the realization of every last promise he's ever issued to this church and each individual. So your stint in the wilderness does not negate your promise. It doesn't mean that God's not leading. And today's musicians come. With that in mind, I implore you again, follow Jesus. And follow him no matter what. It's easy to say, tougher to live. But I'd rather live in that tough scenario than live without him. By day, he led him. I want to follow him every day rather than being lost in the wilderness. We're going to follow him knowing our promised land is coming and knowing that he'll sustain us until we get there. As Isaiah 41 and 10, it says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged in 2020, for I'm still your God. I'm still your God. I'm the one who strengthens you and helps you. I will hold you up with not just my right hand, my victorious and righteous right hand. It's exactly what he did for the Israelites. Moses reminded them in Deuteronomy chapter 1. He said, then I said to you, don't be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he'll fight for you. According to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place of promise. We're going to follow Jesus to that place of promise. And on the days that we don't feel we've got the strength to follow, that Heavenly Father promises to carry us with his right hand. This morning, I suspect he has had to carry more people through the wilderness, excuse me, of 2020, than maybe any other time. There's a whole lot of us wrapped up in those arms today. And I also suspect that I'm in the presence of some faithful saints of God who are struggling right now to continue to put one foot in front of the other and follow Him. Not because you've forsaken Him or you're a bad person, because like many others, you're tired of the wilderness and the pain. But in the middle of all that, I just hear the voice of the shepherd today who knows you and knows where you are, saying, keep following me. And if I got to carry you, I'll do it and I'll sustain you. In light of His word and His presence this morning, I invite you to stand all across this place. And would you just respond to Him in whatever way you feel like doing? Would you begin to lift your voice all across this place and respond to the call of God who's calling us to follow Him today? There's some people who have had a difficult season, a difficult road the last several weeks and months, and you've been trying to put one foot in front of the other, and God just nudging you again, saying you may have to go through a little bit more wilderness, but keep following me. Would you respond to that call right now with a lifted hand and lifted voices? Let Him know, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go after you, Jesus. I'm going to pursue you, Lord. If you tell me to stay where I'm at, I'm going to stay. If you tell me to wait, I'm going to wait. If you tell me to go, I'm going to go. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to wander in my own direction, not even the face of a wilderness. I'm not going to try to preempt the process. And even through pain, and even through heartache, and even through struggle, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to follow you today. Oh, God. Can we make that commitment this morning? Whatever words you need to use, I wonder if we could commit together as a church and as individuals and as families. Lord, I commit today. I'm going to follow you. Would you make that commitment with your own voice today? Lord, I am going to follow you no matter what. I'm not just going to follow you when it's convenient. I'm not just going to follow you when it's comfortable. I'm going to follow you, Lord, when your will and my will are not parallel, God. And when your will has to trump mine, Lord, I'm going to follow you. My family is going to follow you. This church is going to follow you, Lord. Make that commitment and that determination today, that every day we're going to follow you. I'm going to listen for that voice, Lord. Maybe I haven't heard it in a while, but I hear it loud and clear today. The shepherd calling me, and I know that voice. Oh, I said, I am calling you to follow me. Knowing full well every obstacle. Knowing full well the duration of your wilderness. Knowing full well every obstacle you've already overcome, the ones that I was there for. The ones that I personally helped you to cross. And yet still I call you today. Knowing full well that I am your shepherd. Knowing full well that I am your provider. Knowing full well that I am your sustainer, and I've always been your sustainer. Even in the face of a wilderness, pain and turmoil, I continue to follow you because I continue to lead you. And I will be your shepherd through every phase and every moment of this wilderness, saith the Lord. Oh, just reaffirm that commitment right now, along with a thanks to Him. Would you respond by committing to Him? Lord, we are going to follow you. We know that we could potentially face a wilderness, But we follow you, Jesus. Thank you for your help. This morning I have a good idea. The response I'm going to get, considering the nature of this sermon. I want to pray for all those walking through a wilderness right now. A prayer like this could be the extra strength that someone needs. Get through another day or another week. And I know we could all raise our hands that yes, we're all facing a wilderness. But specifically, if you just want prayer for the individual wilderness you're facing currently, want to have the strength to hold that commitment you just made, would you ask for it by raising your hand right now and say, I'd like some prayer today. Church, I know you can't physically, but would you come alongside? I'm seeing hands in every section. Come alongside with your prayers and lift someone up that's walking through a wilderness right now. Would you pray, church? Pray for these individuals. And I'm believing the hand and the strength of God. You're going to come right now. We speak your strength, Lord, over every last lifted hand and the life behind it. You've seen the wilderness. You've seen every moment of it. You were never absent from them, nor will you be, Lord. And I'm believing that your strength is going to be made perfect in their weakness, Lord. You're going to help someone that's walking through a wilderness season and time right now. We stand alongside brothers and sisters who have stood alongside us as we walk through a wilderness. And now we pray as the church and we exercise the role of the body. And we pray in the name of Jesus and we speak your peace over them. And we speak your strength into them and over them, Lord. And we speak clarity in the name of Jesus. Give them the strength that they need to continue walking and following you today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of that shepherd. In the name of that sustainer. In the name of that provider, we pray. Ah, Jesus. And I want to narrow our focus, okay? I know I'm holding you, but it's 9:55. We all have seasons where we could use God's help to carry us. But we're just at the end of our rope. In the end of our strength. That's the time when His strength is made perfect in our weakness. I really felt specifically to pray this prayer point. If you feel like I just want God to carry me today, that I don't have any extra strength, I'm at the end of my strength. Would you raise your hand in faith this morning? Some of the same hands. But I wanted to narrow this because God sees these individuals and these families who just need the hand of the shepherd to come alongside. Church, I wonder if you follow the Holy Ghost right now and pray. Call some of these names. Look around the room and call some of these names out in prayer right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray for brothers and sisters who have no more strength, God, and who are still enduring a wilderness, Lord. We pray that I, that shepherd, would come alongside and lift up the sheep and carry them, Lord, as long as they need to be carried. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray that strength every day. And if you got to carry them tomorrow, pick them up, Lord, and carry them. If you got to carry them for this whole week and this whole month, God, carry them. If you got to carry them every last step of the wilderness, we pray that the hands of the shepherd would uphold our church family. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And now would you lift a praise to this wonderful God and wonderful shepherd today. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for your help. We thank you for your call. We thank you that you sustained us and brought us this far. And we're going to continue to follow you, Jesus. We thank you today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thankful for the body, for this God who carries us. Thank you for praying for one another.